Rav Abaya comes along and he says, no, it's not conclusive. Why isn't it conclusive? He says, because on Wednesday night he's quoted from reading the Shema, going to make a beer. If he doesn't make a beer Wednesday night, on Thursday night he's quoted reading the Shema because he's going to make a beer. If he hasn't made a beer on Thursday night, on Friday night he needs to make a read the Shema. Why not? Because there he's still rude that he hasn't made the beer. And he is still rude that he can't make the beer. So that he can't make a beer, that is the reason why he need not read the Shema. Now, what's the reasoning for that? What's the reasoning for that?
The proof that you can't have a beer on Shabbos.
Well, that's what Abaya says. But why shouldn't he read the Shema if he's doing a mitzvah? He needn't read the Shema because of Osek b'mitzvah, potur min ha-mitzvah. But if he's not doing a mitzvah, so because he's not going to make a deal, why should he be potur from Shema? So Rashi speaks about tzar. So what does it mean? And if there's tzar, if I've got pain, then I mustn't put on my tefillin. If I've got a headache, I don't put on my tefillin. If I've got pain, I don't put on my tefillin. And if I've got mental anguish, I don't put on my tefillin. Of course I put on my tefillin. So what is it about? Now, I want you just to be able to understand this part of it, what the relationship is. And the Gemara immediately asked, Tovus Finosa Bayom, does it mean that he's spotted from reading the Shema? His ship sinks at sea. He doesn't read the Shema. When one does a mitzvah, one must do it with simcha. How can he do a mitzvah with simcha if at that moment he is inside, he's got anguish? Then the Gemara asks on Abaya, and the Gemara says, and if his ship sinks at sea, mustn't he read the Shema? And if he's an over, if he's mourning, doesn't he read the Shema? He reads the Shema. So we see that that is not a reason for not reading the Shema. Eventually, we come to a conclusion like this, that Abaya says, I still say so. I still say that you are right, I agree with you that if his ship sinks at sea, he doesn't read the Shema. I agree with you that if he's lost somebody, he doesn't. I'm sorry, he does. That if he ships things to sea, he reaches the Shema. I agree with you that if he's lost somebody, he's an over, but he still says the Shema. I agree with you in all that. He says, because when the ship sinks, and he's in Tzad, why shouldn't he read the Shema? Because he's in Tzad, he's got no business to be inside. He should thank heavens, thank Rebbeinu Shleilam, that he wasn't on the ship. That's all. Be happy about it. But that you've got tzar. Before that you've got belief, and you've got faith, and you've got trust. If you leave, use your worldly possessions to have tzar to the extent that you're not going to read the Shema, that you can't do. An Ovel has got to keep the laws of mourning. We don't prohibit him from being distressed, but it's not a mitzvah to be distressed. There's no mitzvah to be distressed. It's got nothing to do with the mitzvahs being distressed. If he can't do the beer on Friday night, why can't you do the beer? Because the Torah says you can't do it. That is a reason for being distressed now. He wants to do a mitzvah, and he can't do the mitzvah. That is a reason to be distressed. That's legitimate. That's a reason to be distressed. So it's true distress. It's not false distress. This is true distress. Yes, my
friend. If you look at it that way, based on what we just learned,
yeah.
not to do the bia on Shabbat is a negative. To perform the bia on Shabbat is a positive injunction.
Yes.
So why wouldn't we apply the same principle we do by the cow, and the positive injunction override the negative prohibition?
Yes. Because the thing of breaking the first bia on Shabbos is a mitzvah that is not written in the Torah.
Right, it's not a mitzvah, right?
No. Not in
English,
it's just...
Isn't that the same thing that
a Rosh Hashanah... Excuse me, let me give you an example. There's somebody sick in the hospital in Palo Alto. So must I take a motor car on Shabbos and go and visit that bee first, because it's a mitzvah to visit the sick, and it's a negative piece of to break the Shabbos? You follow? That I can't do. But there's another reason too, that in the Shabbos, there's not only a negative precept of breaking the Shabbat, that you mustn't break the work of the Shabbat, but there's a positive precept that you must keep it holy. So you can't work that way, you see. Can't possibly.
So it only overrides if it's a mitzvah of equal...
I'll give you the classical example of Asay Bochel, as you said. The classical example is, if a person has got a garment of flax, four-cornered garments, as if he's got to put in tzitzit. And if he puts in tzitzit, he shatnis, because it's wool and flax together. The positive precept of putting in tzitzit overrides the negative precept of wool and flax together. That is the classical example.
Wait, couldn't you then wear that
garment? Are we following?
Couldn't you then wear that garment? That
yes, because it's atzei deochelosis there.
Really?
The other example was that when Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbat, we don't blow the shofar.
Oh, no, that is a different
thing. Yeah. Because here we have the Shabbat overriding the
Rosh Hashanah. This is a different thing. Now, just look what it means. The din in the Torah is that you blow the shofar on Shabbos. That's the din in the Torah. No,
you don't.
But just look what they did. Yeah. So what did the Chachomim do? They said, we are afraid, Shemo Yavi Renu Dalit Amos Bifusorabi, we are afraid that there will be somebody sick in the congregation, and the person who blows the shofar will carry the shofar to him to blow. Just look out for. First of all, what are the chances of a person being sick in the congregation? And the chances that this person will forget that it is Shabbos, and he will carry the shofar. And if there is an Erev, no. Still he's not allowed to. And this is such an important thing to listen to the shofar, so important. Even if there is an Erev, he's not allowed to do it. Why not? Because it's possible that there will be a congregation where somebody will be ill. And there won't be an Erev that you'll carry to the room. Just look to what lengths we go. Look, so we see two things from that. The first thing we see, what would you suggest is that?
Shabbos.
How important Shabbos is. Mm-hmm. How important Shabbos is. To what lengths the Chazal go. But there's another thing we see from it. You see from it how important the blowing of the shofar is. That how will this man forget that it's Shabbos? That he's so engrossed in this mitzvah of the shofar, he's so taken up with it, he can forget about it. Only because he's so engrossed in it, so he sees it at both ends. That is the reason for that. Anyway, let us come back to this point now. I mean, pardon?
I was about to digress on a good question that has no bearing on this.
Okay. But anyway, but then we can get an idea of what the meaning of Shabbos is.
For sure, sir.
So now we come on to, now we're getting the whole thing very clear. We've got that in the Gemara, learns the Gemara very simply. On Friday night, you could make a bia, and therefore one doesn't need the Shema. Abaya says, no, because he can't make a veil, he is so disturbed by it that he can't do the mitzvah. That is the reason that he's put it on the Kriyat Shema. And we leave it at that, but it comes out that it's not conclusive. And that is where we left the Gemara. Dr. Flesch, have you got this clear?
Yes.
It's quite simple
so
now.
Far.
So far. Now we come to a new thing. So if it's not conclusive, but there's another thing that we've got to ask. So we find it on... I want to start the Gemara from Omar Robert Tannoihi. Omar Robert Tannoihi. Is there anybody who hasn't got the place? You haven't got the place. Omar Robert here. Omar Robert. Is it just we see Tannoihi? Got it? Omar Robert Tannoihi. So you've got the place.
Yeah.
David, have you got the place? This Machlokas. Whether one can have a beer on Friday night or not. So, Robo learns from our Mishnah that you are allowed to, and Abaya says it's not conclusive, because I can say that the reason he doesn't read the Shema on Friday night is not because he's going to make a beer, but it's because he's prevented from making a beer and he's so disturbed by it, says Abaya. So from there it's not conclusive. Elo Omar Rova, but said Rova Tanoihi. This question whether one can make the first beer on Friday night or not is dependent on Tanoi. The Tano Chado in the Osamaisa Berishon Potter Apesheni. Now we've got a Beraisa, and this is a floating Beraisa. This is already an example of a floating Beraisa. He said we've got one Beraisa which says, if he didn't do the beer on Wednesday night, potur afesheni, then he's free from leading the Shema on Thursday night. Fesheni, if he didn't do it on Thursday night, potur afeshlishi, then he's free even on Friday night. So we can see from that Tana, from that Raisa, we see that he says that the first beer may be done on Friday night. Right? V'tanu idach, and we learned in another Beraisa, Rishon V'sheni potur, Wednesday and Thursday night is potur, Shlishi Chayiv, that if he didn't do the beer on Wednesday night and he didn't do it on Thursday night, on Friday night he's not potur from reading the Shema, then he's got to read the Shema. What would we say would be the reason?
Because
he can't do the beer. So we see that this is whether one can do the first beer or not goes right back to the period of the Tannoi. So it makes it much easier already, you see. So it's really, it's not only our business, it was their business already. The Abaya, now what does Abaya do with that? So we've got a situation now that we've got the Mishnah in Brochos that we interpret to be what we have learned it, that he cannot do the first beer on Friday night. Can do the first beer on Friday, that's why he doesn't read the Shema. We've got the Mishnah in Brochus that he can do the first beer on Friday night. We've got the first Beraisa which says he's potter from reading Shema on Friday night, which says he can do the beer on Friday night. And we've got another Beraisa that says he must read the Shema on Friday night, which means he can't do the beer on Friday night. So it's two against one. So Rava is satisfied. He says, right, it's two against one, says the Gemara of Abaya. And what does Abaya do? Abaya should be highly satisfied now. At least he's got somebody to support him. No, he's not. Abaya says, he says, awesome, nami batirdi pliki. He says, no, I say that all three of them agree with me, says Abaya. I say the Mishnah agrees with me. The reason that he doesn't read the Shema on Friday night is because he's a Torud. that he can't do the mitzvah of beer. That's why the Mishnah says. Not that he's allowed to do the beer. He's not allowed to do the beer. The first Braisa says he is potter from Kriyat Shema for the same reason. He's potter from Kriyat Shema because he wants to make a beer on Friday night, and he's prevented from being on Friday night. So he's potter from being in the Shema. Agrees with me, says Abai. So two are already on my side. Now you're worried about the third one. The third one says, if he didn't make the beer on Wednesday and Thursday night, he is potter from making, he's chayiv, he's got to read the Shema on Friday night, which shows that he can't make the beer. He says, that certainly agrees with me. The only thing I say, that if he can't make the beer, he should be potter from reading the Shema. He says, Baraitas number 2 and 3 differ on that very point. Whether the stress at not being able to do a mitzvah is sufficient reason for not reading the Shema. Baraita number 1 says, the stress from not being permitted to do the mitzvah is enough to free him from reading the Shema. Baraita number 2 says, the stress from not doing a mitzvah doesn't free him from reading the Shema. So although he can't do the mitzvah, he still has to read the Shema. Says Abaya, thank you very much, Robert. The Mishnah is according to me. Braita number 1 is according to me, and Braita number 2 are according to me. Thank you. You, Robert, you've got 2 against 1, but I've got 3 all on my side. That is what he says. Now let us go on a little bit further. Vahani tanoi ki hani tanoi. And Robo goes on to say, these tanoim that I have enumerated to you, ki hani tanoi, are like these tanoim. Now Robo is not at all satisfied with Abai. That a buyer comes and he learns Baraita number 1 and Baraita number 2, you are not allowed to make the first beer on Friday night. So he says, you know, this Baraita number 1 and Baraita number 2 really is a parallel of Baraita number 3. Also a floating Baraita. What is Baraita number 3? The Sangyo, because we learned in the Baraita, Hakones is a Basulo. If a man marries a basulo, he marries a virgin, lo hivo b'dechilo b'Shabbos. He is not allowed to make the first beer on Shabbos. Play. The Chachomim matiri, and the Chachomim say that he is allowed to make the first beer on Shabbos. So he says, now, here there can be no question at all. So we've got one authority that says he's not allowed to make it, and one authority says that it is allowed to make it. So now we've come to a clear case where the Chachomim in the Braita say one can do the first beer on a Friday night, and the Tanakamo is the first authority, the anonymous authority, says, lo hivo tefila b'Shabbos, he's not allowed to make the first beer on Shabbos. Very nice conclusion. Is that all right with me? What's the trouble, Michael?
I'm having a difficulty with the braces. The
braces number 3?
No, the braces that Abaya all learned the same way. That yes. If there's a 2 braces, that's fine. But the other braces says clearly that he may make a beer on Shabbos.
Yes.
Where does that braces come from and why?
It's a 13 braces.
And
how? The Chachomim Matiri, then the Chachomim say it is permitted. The Braita says, Akones Vesula, Lo Yivo Techilo B'Shabbos. There are 2 authorities in that Braita. The first authority of the Braita, who's an anonymous authority, his name isn't mentioned, says that you are not allowed to make the first beer on Shabbos. The Chachomim and the Chachomim say, Matidim, you are.
Oh, I see. It probably is too simple-minded to ask why this very relevant braisa is brought down at this point, at the very conclusion.
And why it's not brought down before?
Because it's a machlokas.
Because it's machlokas in the braisa.
In
the machlokas between the Tana Kama and the Chachamim.
Right.
Okay. So
I think.
Is that
five?
Okay.
Which good.
Fine.
Very good. Thank you.
What's the difference in a floating braisa as opposed to any other braisa?
It's not in the tosefta.
Uh-huh.
And it's in no work that has gathered braises together. There are five works that have gathered braises together. It's not in any of those five works.
Uh-huh.
It's floating. All right?
Yes.
Rabbi, like, when there is a
machlokas
between the Tanakhama and the
Chacham,
it can go either way.
It can go either way. We don't know what way it can go. It can go either way.
Okay.
The Mishnah doesn't help us. The Brises don't help us as far as that. The Brises don't codify. They just state the case.
And we have
the
Tanya
Machonis
S. Oh, no, the
Matirin. Matirin. That permit. To be Matir, Mutar.
Oh, it's from Mutar. Okay.
Mutar, yes. They permit. Right. And the Chachomim. Now the Gemara asks, Man Chachomim, who are the Chachomim?
Hmm.
Who are the Chachomim? Omar Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. He said, Rabbi the Chachomim are Rabbi Shimon.
This gives it, in other words, this gives it authority for Shimon.
The Chachomim are Rabbi Shimon. Why they should call Rabbi Shimon the Chachomim? Is a mute point. Call him Rabbi Shimon. Why they should call Chachomim Rabbi Shimon? Well, the Chachomim is plural, and he's singular. So we've got to say that it's a school. It's not only Rabbi Shimon, but he heads a school, and it's this school that said it was Mutter. That's where we'll have to learn it. Omar Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon, the Omar Dover She'ein Niskavin Mutter. Back again to our previous case. Because Rabbi Shimon said, as a Dover She'ein Niskavin is Mutter. Got it?
Yeah.
All comes back again, all ties up again. So now we've got to the stage that we've got a Baraita. Until now, Rabbi Shimon only says that Dovah She'einu Niskavin is Mutter, but it was never applied to the question of the first bia on Shabbos. Now suddenly the Gemara comes along and says, no, Rabbi Shimon actually said that the first bia is permitted to be made on Shabbos. Now we can understand, because he says that Dovah She'einu Niskavin is Mutter on Shabbos. What is the Dovah She'einu Niskavin? Chabura. He doesn't want to make a wound. He doesn't need to make a wound. He is thinking, what is Kavono? You know what Kavono means?
Desire.
What is his purpose?
Purpose.
His purpose is must enjoy himself. That's his purpose. And what's us for? Wants to have a good time. Wants to enjoy himself. There's a chabura in it. He didn't want to make the chabura. Since he didn't want to make the chabura, it's a Dovah She'einu Niskavin, and that is permitted on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara only one question. Ask the Gemara, v'homodei Rabbi Shimon b'pasik reisha v'lo yomus, that we know that Rabbi Shimon has got one reservation, about Dovah She'einu Niskavin, that it's permitted. He says that Dovah She'einu Niskavin is permitted only if the result is not a result that must follow. It's not a result that must follow. But if it's a result that must follow, you are not allowed to do it. For example, if I want to wash my hands, the example that I gave you, and I want to wash my hands for my eating, and I do it outside the window, there flowers are growing, it's impossible that I water the flowers and they don't benefit from it. I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos.
There's an argument that can always be raised about the impossibility of events. A big wind could blow and the water would not fall on the flowers.
Well, Well, perhaps that will become a little bit clearer a little bit later. You see how it will work a little bit later. Just a little bit later. It will come up. What the Gemara says will answer that question. If I am opening a canister of peaches, let us say, a canister, and by opening the canister, I am creating a receptacle. I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos. But I'm not, my kavana isn't on the receptacle, but it's impossible to open it and not to create the receptacle, then I'm not allowed to do it. Because that is a pesikresha. I'm not allowed to make a receptacle on Shabbos. If by opening it I'm making a receptacle, then I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos. But what can I do? I can take the tin opener and turn it upside down and make a hole here, and then take it off the lid, and then it's not a receptacle. What kind of a receptacle is it? It can't hold anything. Then I'm allowed to do it. Am I making myself clear? Don't you understand, David?
I understand that, except isn't that when you make that hole?
Yes.
Prevent
from being
a receptacle. Don't make it a receptacle.
No, that's not a receptacle. Okay, what kind of a receptacle?
Also, I'm destroyed rather than created.
That's right. What kind of a receptacle? The hole is there. So what kind of a receptacle?
It's like an unwrap something.
You know, there are some cans that they make when they're canning. They make it in such a way that when you take it out, they want you to have a receptacle there. That you follow. They want it to be there. Then I can prevent it like that. Otherwise, I can't prevent it. All right. So the Gemara asks, it's a pesik reisha, yes, Sivak.
This is from the pottery costing today. I mean, if you want to open up a can.
That's where we pass.
Just open up the can and that's okay?
No, make a hole from the bottom. So that you don't make a receptacle.
After you take the peaches out.
Except if you open up a tin of sardines. You make such a mess of it.
Well, you can't use it
as a receptacle afterwards. There you don't have to worry. But there's some things that it's really, it's a receptacle, so you make a hole at the bottom first, and then you can do it.
The question has come up.
Yes.
Oh. Yes, the practical question has come up about putting a hole in at the bottom so that you have never made a receptacle before you take the peaches out.
Yes.
But in the meantime, things are
you're the all right.
Yeah. Shalom Bayit may come first.
You know, people should never yell at one another. Especially
your wife is beating on you.
Especially if they live in the same house.
Upon welfare.
So open it on Friday afternoon and put it in a nice library.
I've done this many times. It's such a simple thing. You do it so quickly. You just do it, and you do it so quickly once a little bit runs out, and you collect it at the bottom. It's not you mustn't make a problem from a non-problem. That's not good. It's good to have problems. You must always have a problem. But then it's got to be a real problem. You've got to find it. It's only you're discovering it. But it's got to be a real problem. Problem is always have to have it. Right. So, but he says it's a pesik reisha because he cannot make the beer without making the wound. Oh, Marley. So,
is it a question?
Yes. Abaya
is asking a question.
Oh, Marley, Abaya, yes, but Homodi Rabbi Shimon pesik reisha for Yomus. He says to Rabbo that Abaya says it's a pesik reisha. So, how can you say that Abaya, how can you, Rabbo, say that Rabbi Shimon says it's permitted to make the first beer on Shabbos because he says a dover she'enem is kaven is muter? Yet it is a pesiklesha, and where it's a dover she'enem is kaven and it's a pesiklesha, he says you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. You follow? Yes?
Is he asking on the fact that it's on its original thing about not being able to make a beer, or is he asking on the fact of who the identity of the Chachamim is? In other words, how can you say, is he asking, how can you say that Chachamim is Reb Shimon?
He's asking on both. And both. Therefore, you've got to say
that. It could be somebody else. And that's not a question anymore.
That's right. He's saying to him, once you say it's Rabbi Shimon, you're in difficulty.
Right. So actually, it's somebody else. So the real question seems to be that you have to say that Chachamim is Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah, but that's not the answer he gives. Omar lay so here. Rabbi said to him, Lo kahalolu babli im she'ein b'ki in b'hatoya. Elo yesh b'ki in b'hatoya. He said, because there are those who are experts in diversion. And they are able to make the first beer in such a way that there isn't a wound. Now here we come on delicate ground. Ask the Gemara in Cain, Torah Lomo. If that is the case, then why should he not make the read the Kriya Shema on Friday night? Answers the Gemara Lishe Eino Boki. That is speaking about a person who isn't a Boki.
What is a Boki?
An expert. It's speaking about a person who isn't an expert. Now we come to a position such as this. A person, just listen to this, because here comes an important principle now. If a person is an expert in it, then really he should be able to read the Shema, because he's not a Torut. He's not a Torut either. If, however, he is, so what does it mean he's not a Torut, but he's an Osek for Mitzvah? No. If you're an expert, then when does your Mitzvah begin? Then the Mitzvah begins at 10 o'clock, not at 8:15. It's only if you're not a Boki, then you are concerned about it, then your Mitzvah begins at 8:15. But if you are a Boki, your Mitzvah only begins much later, so you can read the Shema at 8:15. Answers the Gemara, yes, but you're right. So it comes out that a Boki will read his Shema, and if he's not a Boki, then he's Potter. In Kaitore, normally it's a Boki. Asks the Gemara Yomru, then let them say in the Mishnah, Boki Mutu Sheena Boki also. That if a person is Boki, he is permitted, and if it's not a Boki, he is prohibited. Answers the Gemara Robekine. The Gemara asks, I'm sorry, Yomru, let them ask the Gemara, let them say, Boki Mutter, if a person is a Boki, he's an expert at diversion, he is permitted to make the first beyond Shabbos, because he's not a persecutor. She ain't a Boki, but if he's not an expert, also he's not allowed to make the first beyond Shabbos, because although the Dovashim is covering, but he has to make a wound if he's not a Boki. Answers the Gemara, Ropekin Hay. The majority of them are Bikin. Now here comes the principle, and I've just got to explain to you, they are experts. Bikin is an expert, Bikin are experts.
What was Pesikresha?
Pesikresha means cutting off the head. The whole expression is, he cuts off the head, and he won't die.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
The road.
Those Bikin Hain.
We're going to find out if that applies to the majority of whom? I mean,
regular people?
I mean, well, he says, we're soon going to see. Now he says, the road of Bikin Hain. Now, here comes a very interesting thing. How to learn this road Bikin Hain? If you will look at the Rashi, the road Bikin Hain is Gilko Stamo Lav Pesik Reisha Velan Yomusu. He says, there is a machlokas of Rashi and Tosfos here. Rashi learns it like this, and this is going to answer your question, about the wish. He says, once the majority of people know how to do it, then it's not a Pesik Reisha anymore. Then it doesn't mean that this has got to happen. If only 10% of the people knew how to do it, says Rashi, that's a Pesik Reisha. But if the majority of people know how to do it, then it's not a desecration.
Then how does that apply to the situation that we used as another example of secretion about making the fritz? Remember, and yes. Because in the majority of times you would make a fritz. It would be so dry.
Then you're not allowed to do it.
Yes, it would not be a desecration. In other words,
it is a desecration. You are not allowed to pull this because you are making a chrit.
I see, so we learn out that...
The din actually is, on soft soil, you're not allowed to do it. On a hard surface, you are allowed.
Because the whole union of segregation then implies a majority situation.
Yes, because if you pull... In 99 cases, if you would pull this along, you make a chrit. On soft soil.
I see. So we're learning. This seems to me to be different from what we learned before, in the sense that we are now understanding of steep ratio to be a likelihood rather than a certainty.
That's right. That is
that
right.
That defeats the whole definition of steep ratio.
No. But look. But you see, you've got to be careful what it means. It says that if in the majority of cases you can say, you can assess, that in the majority of these cases, it need not happen like this, that means it's no longer a desecration. But if in the majority of cases it's got to happen like this, then it would be a desecration. That is the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos doesn't learn it like that, but I don't want to worry you about Tosfos until we've conquered the Rashi. You follow, so you see what's happening here.
Yes,
not completely.
It's like throws a wrench into the works over here, this whole idea.
What is this? What is that? Yes?
The idea of, now, basically what Michael's problem was, of saying the sick ratio means that if you're going to do something, it's inevitable that this is going to follow. And now we're saying that no, it's not, because earlier, when we learned earlier, I thought the definition we had was that even if there's a possibility, when we spoke about a hataya, we talked about how extraordinary and unlikely it would be to find such a person, but the fact that such a person can exist already would eliminate it from the fact. Now it seems he doesn't turn that on its head. That doesn't define him.
Well, what we are saying now is that the majority of people know about it. We are now coming to the principle. This is a finality as far as the principle is concerned. This is Rashi Shihen. That if it is, in the majority cases, it wouldn't happen. But in the minority cases, it will definitely happen. It's still not a desecration.
But, you know, that's like saying, okay, if somebody takes a gun at 100 yards and shoots at somebody, the majority of cases is he's going to miss. But there are marksmen who, in the minority of cases, are going to hit that person in the heart. So what are we going to say? We're going to say, because the majority is a desecration, that it, from the standpoint of that if he shoots, he's definitely going to miss. In other words, if a person stands from 100 yards away and shoots, he's going to say, I'm positive, because the majority of cases, it's a question.
You've got to take it, if a person inflicts a wound on another person, and in the majority of cases, that wound doesn't kill, and this person dies from it, then you've got to say it's manslaughter and it's not murder. That would be a fair assessment. You follow?
But in the majority of cases, it is a fatal wound, and the person doesn't die, then it's still murder.
No. If you want to make it a desecration, you've got to take it at its very choice. If you cut off the man's head, does he live or does he die?
He dies.
Well, then it's a desecration.
But that's all the time.
This is the problem I think both Solomon are having.
Yes.
The way we understood it before, is that whole illustration is unbeautiful because it has to happen. There's no exception to it.
Yes. Now we are saying that if the majority of cases it can be otherwise, that is. This is Rashi Shita. if in the majority of cases it doesn't occur, you see, you're forcing me into saying, into situations where I've got to, it becomes complicated.
Sorry.
What we want to do now is to say that a thing is mutter lechatchilo. That is what we want to say. If a person, let us say, would have done a deal where it is, there is one case in 100 where it wouldn't be, one person in 100 knows how to do his baratoya and there wouldn't be any. Then what we would be prepared to say according to the deen is, and he did it and he made a wound, he's not guilty. He's not guilty because this isn't a persecution. Because one person can do it, so he's not guilty. You can't give him a death sentence for it.
But that's not the way we're learning now.
No, we are learning lechatchila to permit him to do it. We are saying you can do lechatchila. We can permit you to do it. You follow what I'm saying?
I must say I did not.
You don't. There are certain laws in the Torah where. Remember when I gave you the drawing, the illustration, there are certain things in the Torah where you are not allowed to do it. Lechatchila, you're not allowed to do it. But if you do it, there are some, if you do it, you are guilty. There are some, but if you do it, you're not guilty for it. But you're prevented from doing it altogether. Now, if it is a case of a psychration like this, where the person does something, let us say he falls out the water. If in one case there is one chance in 100 that by doing this, it won't make them grab. Even if he makes it go, but he didn't have kavana on it. But there's one chance in 100 not. Now you say, look here, you did it, you are guilty. You see, that you say, no, guilty he is. Because there's one chance in 100 that it won't do. Guilty you are. Holy says, very nice, if I'm not guilty, then I'm going to do it now again, I've got to wash my hands the second time. He said, no. That you can only do is in the majority of cases it won't be so. To permit you to do it, that we can't.
So, as I hear this right now, we're making a distinction between psikratia, lachila, okay, and psikratia, lachila, it has to be absolutely certain, and psikratia, bidiyevet,
once it can be like that, you can't have the possibility to the possibility, it doesn't
matter. No, I just said it backwards. I mean,
if you do it, if it is a case of lechatchila, you want it to be lechatchila, it's got to be the majority cases.
Right.
If it's a case of a BDM, even if there's just one chance that it won't be, you can't have any right. That's all it is. But I didn't want to come into all this question of lechatchila and BDM. Do you understand what's going on?
Yes.
But it's straightforward.
No, his question was, why didn't they say that before then? Instead, now he's saying,
well, why the cheese?
Because I was doing the deal with the persecution, I was explaining it to him, and you were arguing at that time, how is it possible that anybody can do that to it?
He just said, somebody can't.
Now yes, I wanted to make it as easy as possible for you. So I... this is at the ground level, that is what a persecration is. Now you're coming on Rabbi Shimon is Mati Lechatchilo, a persecration. That is because Rav Bekin Hain. But the point that Rashi makes is, what is Rav Bekin Hain? Since the majority can do it, that isn't a persecration. Even if it's certain that this person doesn't know how to do it. That's the point. Hello.
Excuse me. This is your wife and
Okay, we gotta go.
So there he comes to the conclusion, because Velbatina, and therefore Lakatchilo, it is mutter to do so. Omale Rova Barakonan Abaya. Said Rav Rova Barakonan to Abaya, Elame Ato, Shushbini Lomo. Mapo Lono. Now I just want to explain what this is to do. In the time of the Gemara, what they used to do was, first of all, what a Shushbini?
Unterfeerers at the wedding, where we weren't even related to the chosen or to the car. We weren't even related, but they asked us to be the chief. That's quite in order, you see. But attendance. It's a very great honor to be attendance at a wedding, and this is a necessary part of a wedding, is to have those attendants. You can have more than two attendants. For example, in California, I've been given to understand that they have what they call a best man. He's an attendant. He also falls under Shushbini. A very great honor. He's got to do something. In fact, he does a tremendous amount. I've seen that. Does a tremendous amount. A very great honor at a wedding to be. It's such an important thing that let us say the chosen is an ovel. He's in mourning. He's in mourning after a parent. So the first year he's not allowed to go. But if he goes to a wedding and where he is the best man in this sense is in California, he's got to do so much, I would permit him to go to the wedding. Because he's doing such a big mitzvah there, I would permit him to go to the wedding and do it. Follow. It's a very important function that he's doing. Now in the days of the Gemara, what they used to do was, they used to take a precautionary measure. It seemed that this was a very delicate matter, the kesubah, because into the kesubah vast sums of money went. For example, there was the basic kesubah, but in addition to the basic kesubah, the chosen would write away to the kalo, let us say, in cash, $10,000. Another gift to the kalo, a home on the seafront in Venice. It's not in very good condition, but anyway, look how you can have that. She said, well, I would like to have the one in Ocean View Drive in Santa Monica. He said, no, that one belongs to me. I'm not giving that one. But I've got an old out there from Venice. You can have Pedoza. It will be worth a lot of money one day. You can have. So he writes, all this he writes to her in the kesubah. Now, it means, once it's written into the kesubah, if afterwards he wants to get out of it, he's got to give it all this. So what they used to do, attendants used to be appointed, and these attendants put the sheet on the bed, must have been a double sheet, put it on the bed, and the next morning the attendants went in and took the sheet and they kept the sheet. If anything happened and he said she wasn't a basula, if she wasn't a basula, she isn't entitled to all that. If she wasn't a basula, then they have got the evidence. That used to be done. Not in every case. Not in every case. But there were cases where that was done. So, the Gemara asks, Omale Robo bar Avchona l'Abaya, said Robo bar Avchona to Abaya, Elome Ato, Shushbinin Lomo, Mapo Lomo. Why do you need those attendants to look after the sheet? And why do you need the sheet? If the majority of people are experts in Hatoyo, so what is it going to help you? What's it going to help you? So there won't be any dung. There won't be any blood on the sheet. There won't be any blood on the sheet. So what does it prove? It doesn't prove anything. So what do you want to be informed? What do you, according to you, and what do you want to map up for? It's useless.
I have to ask.
Yes?
If a man, even if he is an expert, he marries the woman as a betula, why does he want to go and try and, what's the point of using this expertise?
If you want to find a hechetimtze mean a possibility, why doesn't he want it? A man wants to marry a young lady, and he's got his own reasons why he wants to marry her. He wants to marry her because he wants to have station, and he wants to have a station in life, and this enhances his position. And she says, look, I'm not prepared to marry, or her family says, I'm not prepared. This wedding can't take place unless we feel that you can, we want to secure her. And he's not a nice person. She said, oh, all right, I'll give her this and give her this and give her this. But he doesn't want to do it. He's got a way of getting out of it. Usually such people are experts. Why, I don't know. But that type of person is usually a bobby. So he has a beer with her on the first night. No doubt. So what does it prove? He makes the case that she's not a basula. So it doesn't help you, because this isn't evidence anymore. That is, Gemara also say there a similar question. Omale. So Abaya answered him, Hosom Shemo Yireveye Oved. We are afraid of something else. We are afraid that there was a proper bill, and there was dumb, and then he destroys the evidence. That's why we don't want him to destroy the evidence, in case there was.
For her protection.
For her protection we do it. That's all it is.
But that doesn't answer the question that precedes it.
What's it? Ask it, you're quite right. Ask it.
Can I ask it?
Because he can still say, the question remains, he can still say, but she's not a basula. So the way we answer it, the Rashi deals with it, the way we answer it is follows. Why we need the Shushbinin and the Mako, why we need it. We are afraid that he will do a proper deal and he will destroy the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
One thing. So therefore the Shushbinin are there. What can happen is that he can do a hatoyo, he can divert, and he can say she's not a basula. Take your sheets. She's not a basula. She can say, examine me. She knows that she's a basula still. She will say, examine me. Call the women in, they will know. So therefore, if we do this, he's got no way out. It's a safeguard for the color. So whatever he does, we have got him cornered. If he's a rogue, then whatever he does, we've got him cornered. If he does hatoyo, she can say, I'm still a basuya, what's he talking about? If he does do it, we are there, and he does a proper beer, he wants to destroy the evidence, we are there to see that he doesn't destroy the evidence. So we look after her case. That's all it is.
Does that leave him, then, without leave this robe, then, top of everything else, chayav the chilul Shabbat?
No, because we are working according to Rabbi Shimon that it's permitted.
I see.
We're working to that it's permitted.
Even though he had the intention of spilling the blood and destroying it.
I see. No, he wants his own anor. He wants his own anor. But afterwards he wants to destroy the evidence. We don't give him that opportunity.
I see, but we don't get him out of the
No. Now, there's a new question that comes. So that is Omalei. Hosum Shemo Yirevi Ya'aved. So that is why we've got you. And now we've called and rounded this off. According to Rabbi Shimon, he's allowed to make the first beer on Shabbos. It's not a Pesik Reisha because Rove Betinein. And we've settled that. Now the Gemara asks another question. Rabbi Ami asks the question, Hamefis Murso B'Shabbos. I'm first of all going to do this Mishnah just by translating, and then I will explain it to you. If a person pierces a boil on Shabbos, do they call it a boil?
Yeah.
Im la'asos lo pe chay. If he wants to make a mouth for the ulcer, for the boil, then he is chay. He's guilty. He's desecrated the Shabbos. The im lahotzi mimeno lecho potu. But if he wants to just pull out of it, he wants to draw the matter out of it, the pus out of it, then he hasn't transgressed. The pus.
Yeah, the difference now is?
Now that's the translation.
The difference is Kavanah, isn't it?
Well, we're going to see. Just with that, it's not quite. So Rashi learns it like this. The first one is, Hamaitis Mursha B'Shabos. If he pierces the boil on Shabbos.
What's
Mashis. Mursa b'shabbos is the boil. He pierces the boil on Shabbos. Im la asos lo pe. I would like you to look at the Rashi. Three lines from the bottom of the page. Im la asos lo pe. If his intention is to make a mouth to the boil, says Rashi, Shemiskaven leyaposo, the liyos lo pesach ze leyom umochot. He does it in order that the wound should look better. He's got a boil, in order that it should look better. So he makes a little hole, a nice little hole, and what happens? Not only does the pus come out, but air goes in and air comes out. And it's a drain. This is going to act as a drain. Not a lance, it's not lance, that's going to look ugly. Nice little hole. And it's going to act as a drain. It's going to be there tomorrow and it's going to be there the next day. That is doing a malocha on Shabbos. What kind of a malocha is it? Shabbos? You remember, what is it?
Binyan.
This is building. He is making a... It's like taking that wall and putting a wall through it, a door through it, making a door there. He's making a drain, he's making an hole through which air can go in and pus can come out. That's what he's doing. That is Binyan. But if the imla hutzi mimeno lecho potu, but if he does it, the kavona is only to get the pus out. That's all his interest in it. I mean, pardon? We're coming just 1 minute. But if it's only to get the pus out, then it is permitted. In fact, it's better than damit kapotu. See, then it is permitted. Is that clear? Can you see the difference between the two? Why in the first case it's binyan, in this case it's not binyan. The im lahotzi mimeno lecho is potter.
It's a very fine distinction, because that's basically all anyone would want is just to get the pus out, is it not? What else would anyone want?
No. You could want to permanently remove or reduce the boil. In other words, the question is, do you want temporary relief? Or do you want to permanently do something that's going to change the status of this thing?
I just happen to know a lot about these boils, because unfortunately I went through a period in my life when I was a really young man. I went through a period that had terrible boils, terribly painful, and it lasted for quite a time. And I know exactly what it is. And that is that it wasn't the type of boil that you squeeze out the pus and then that was all coming again. And I remember doing this sort of thing, making a hole so that it could come out all the time. Could come out all the time. And he's very careful, he makes a very nice little hole because he doesn't want it to look bad. If it's lanced, it looks bad. I've had that experience too, where it was lanced. Just makes a little hole, and it comes out nicely with a, if you take a needle and you put it into fire, and then you just pierce it, make a very nice little hole, comes in. That's bingo. But if, they, because there he's got kavona, you know how to do it. You see, I was there. But here he's got kavona. There he's got kavona to make the pesa. But in the other case, his kavona is to get out the pus. That's all he's interested in. He makes an incision or he pricks it, and he wants to get out the pus. That's all. There he's potter. And he may do it like a chino. So, now,
Is there a complication if there's blood drawn?
I beg your pardon?
Is there a complication if blood comes after the pus?
It can be.
I would assume that the skilled physician would make a smaller cut so that, in fact, there is some desirability to have a smaller one.
He might do that, but the person himself doesn't work it that way. But these are the two possibilities it gives. It is given, it's not given by lancing, it's just piercing it. Those are the two possibilities it gives. Now, what the Gemara wants to bring a proof from here is Ifdam Mifkat Pocket. You remember Ifdam Mifkat Pocket. Now, here it says, quite simply, that one is permitted to do this on Shabbos. One of the views were discussing the whole question. Now, the last few weeks we've been discussing where he makes a wound when he makes a beel. It's a wound. The other possibility was, this is not really a wound. That the dam, the sulim, is behind a wall and it's collected there. And all he does is he doesn't make a wound. All he does is he frees the dam from it. But the dam is not absorbed, the dam is the blood. But the dam is not absorbed in the walls. But it's just behind this membrane. It's behind it. And when the membrane is broken, then the dam comes out. You follow, then the dam comes out. So here the Gemara wants to make a comparison and say, this is exactly the same.
Is this a question? And I thought about this months ago.
Let's get this right first. So the Gemara wants to say that here you've got exactly the same circumstance. The pus is in this a wound, and it is dam mifkat pocket, and here there is no question that you are allowed to, in order to get the dam out, you are allowed to pierce it and get the dam out. You follow?
So what does mifkat pocket mean?
It is
just literally
pocket is a pocket.
I'll give you the exact what Rashi says. Mifkat pocket, says Rashi, it is like something that's put there in safekeeping. As if a person gives another person something to keep for him, and the time comes he wants it back. It means it's not something that is supposed to be there forever. Hmm. That's what it means. But it's collected there and it's behind the membrane, and it's meant to be taken out.
Is this understood metaphorically or literally physically?
I think physically.
That's because literally physically it's not true.
That's my question. Does the Gemara have the option of seeing it either way, or does it in fact...
Well,
what is it?
Where is the blood? Does the blood come from the membrane itself?
No.
Or does the blood come from behind the membrane? Or does blood come from the walls?
It comes from the membrane itself. It's not something backed up behind the membrane.
Is it circled?
Well, if it is from the membrane itself, then it's the same thing. Then it's the same thing. Then it's exactly the same thing. Then it is collected in the membrane, but it's not supposed to be there forever. Because a basula is supposed to become an isha.
Okay.
A virgin is supposed to be, then it works out exactly the same. Mm-hmm. You follow?
Yeah.
Then that is the way. Then I haven't said it correctly. I haven't understood the physiology correctly. I just get some idea of it. That is the picture I have in my mind. But if you say that, works out perfectly. Mm-hmm. Have you got it, Dr. Flair?
Yes. Can I understand
that?
Is the blood surrounded within a sort of a tubular membrane? How does
it work? There's a membrane, and there are blood vessels in it, like in every other tissue in the human body.
And it circulates through.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to the heart. Just like every other blood cell in the whole human body.
And it's when you shatter those capsules.
So why can't you make the case, then, that you're making, that by tearing into that membrane and letting blood come out through that, it's the same as tearing into the blood any place else in the body, it's a wound.
I'm sorry, but say it again. What is your question?
From what Dr. Flesh described,
yes.
My question is, why then mustn't it be seen as chavoy michvar, that is, making a wound? Because you're tearing into that membrane,
yes.
So the blood comes out, it's the same as tearing into any other artery. The blood is coming out to an artificially made rupture into that membrane. Is that not the case?
Yeah, but there's a difference. I think I understood the Morris point. That is that this membrane isn't intended to be there always. And it's, in a sense, it was there for safety. And that at some point in the woman's life, it's supposed to be withdrawn.
But we're supposed to look at it that way.
And therefore,
now,
it's not a wound. A wound is an injury to a tissue which is not supposed to be.
Are we looking at the intent or the physical fact?
Let me put it this way. When she loses the dam basuri, she's a loss of blood. Have we got to give her an infusion? A blood infusion?
No.
Why
not? Nor do you have to do so when you have a cut on your hand.
Well, but it could come to that. It could come to that. It could come to that.
I would say that with a small cut.
Would it?
I want to ask that. Would a hemophiliac woman have difficulty in with
sugar? Yes, then it's the same now.
We've come to something like that.
There wasn't any hemophilia then. That started in the 16th century.
Did it? So yeah, that's what I'm understanding. It now looks to me like it's no different than a small cut anywhere else. It's good. We know the body is going to stop the bleeding sooner or later if it's not a big rupture, and neither is
the
big rupture.
The thing is, it doesn't come from the walls, out of the walls of the body. But this is something extra there. Okay, if it should be, if I, the walls haven't got any blood inside them, have they?
Not really.
At the bottom of if you punctured your ear,
yes.
Is there not, I'm sorry, is there not a tender membrane which isn't tearing into the skin, and you can end up bleeding, and you haven't really ruptured anything.
No, that's because that's meant to be there permanently. But this isn't meant to be there permanently.
If we're going into intent, then I give up. But if we're just looking at the physiological facts,
he's not looking at the Gemara, that it still leaves it open as to whether it's dam in kapake or dam.
That's right.
They hold up two different views.
That's right.
And both views have some validity.
Yes. We haven't come, but just let us see this. So anyway, now, the Gemara wants to make a comparison. And here we're coming to your whole point that you made. Here the Gemara wants to make a comparison. He says, the im lahutzi mimeno leicho potu. But if he wants to get the leicho out, he is potu. So, what should it be in the case of dam mifkad pocket? If we would say that the dam besulim is as if it is collected, but it's ready to go out. We should say it's exactly the same thing, and it should be permitted to do it on Shabbos. Now, just look what he says. Answers the Gemara, no. Hosom poki be'okir. In the case of the boil, the blood is pokied, that is collected, the stats is collected there, the okir, but it is separated from the body. So it is a foreign body. In the case of the boil, it is a foreign body. It's got nothing to do with the body at all. But hocho, in the case of the pesulo, pokid, the low okir, it is collected together, but you can't say it's a foreign body that it's got nothing to do with the body at all. You can't say. And here the Rashi is very important. If you just look the last word in the third line, hocho, can you see hocho? The last word, go into the fourth line. Hocho, yeah, dam besulim. Pokid hu velo okir. It is pokid, but it's not velo okir lagamri. But it's not altogether divorced from the body. Elo nivla ketsas bikasolim. But it is a little bit absorbed in the walls. Afal piche ena mechuber kisha ardam hu aybori. Although it's not exactly the same as the blood in any other limb of the body. It's not the same as the blood in my finger. It's still separate, although it is joined, the way I understand it is that the membrane is joined to the walls, and so it is slightly absorbed by the walls, but not completely. Elo konus miu domeli bechubar. But it is dome, it is very much like as if it was joined up because it's not ready just to come out. Now we've got to go over that little piece of Gemara, we've got to get this piece of Gemara straight, and I'll just do it through with a few. I just want you to get the ideas of the Gemara, the various ideas in the Gemara here. Right? Now can we go through it again? And we're going to go through it together with Rashi. Yes?
What seems to be clear here is that a knowledge of the circulatory system is not understood in most times.
Well, the person who was responsible for the circulatory system was Harvey, wasn't he?
Right.
Harvey. Was it Harvey? What difference would that make? If it's circulatory or not.
It's bouncing back and forth, it's circulatory, that makes sense.
Because Rashi makes a provision for that. Rashi says that the dam in the membrane is circulatory.
Which is
correct. He says it is circulatory. You can't say it's divorced from the body altogether.
That's correct.
He says the pus is divorced from the body altogether. But the dam is circulatory. Are we pardon?
That's not quite, it's almost but not totally correct. The pus is simply white blood cells which come out of the circulation.
Do they go back into the circulation?
No, that's the point.
That's right. Yes. They've been separated
from... That's an abscess, then. It's walled off.
They're out. That's
true. Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. They're out, but
now, when all these things come into the Gemara, I want you to understand that it doesn't mean to say that they had all this medical knowledge. A tremendous amount of all this was Torah Shabbat there.
It really does appear to be
correct.
I know what David's thinking, what I'm thinking.
Yes.
When you hear this stuff, you want to make it consistent with one's knowledge of the medical facts.
I know.
That's why we ask these
perfectly. I don't mind that at all. Yeah. I don't mind that at all. The only thing is you've got to be prepared that sometimes it doesn't agree with medicine. And it doesn't always mean that Mitzvah is right.
I'm prepared to believe that.
Yes, it doesn't always mean that.
I'm prepared to believe that.
Because medicine changes. I just want to try and bring this point home to you. I'm trying to give you a phrase of... Yes, but let me give you this case. When was Newton? 1770. Everything seems to have had it happen in the
1600s.
17th century. Newton was 17th century.
Or yes.
Especially this California thing. Newton was 17th century. And Newton speaks about the theory of gravity. Now the Run, who is 13th century, also speaks about gravity. 13th century. And this is very important because of Shabbos. If you throw something, it only, you are guilty only when it reaches the ground. So it's got to come off the ground and it's got to reach the ground again. Does it reach the ground because of his own efforts, or does it reach the ground because of that power that pulled? The Run discusses that. Mm-hmm. The Run discusses that.
Wow. Part of it, Charles.
Yeah, but I just want to tell you. Now, this is 13th century, 300 years before, 400 years before, so the mechanics of it, dynamics of it, mechanics of it, of course we don't know that. That is not the Torah. But the Torah Shebar Peh has got these various principles that are natural laws that they knew about. They knew that there was this power. Couldn't go further, couldn't explain it mathematically, but that the power existed, that they knew. And so in medicine they've got various things, that certain things, those things they knew about it. You follow? They couldn't explain that thing. Those are technical things they didn't know, but the principles they knew. All right, we've just got a little time. I just want to go through this. Mosi Bravi Ami. If I can just get this Mishnah clear, it will be enough. Now, Hamethis Murso B'Shabbos. If a person pierces a boil B'Shabbos, look at your Rashi. Hamefis Murso, four lines from the bottom of the page. Hafoseach peh nofach shekorim klug. I don't know what klug is. It's some French word. He opens a mouth for a boil. Nofach is a boil. Literally, it means it's blown up. It's blown up. If he does that on Shabbos, Im lasos lo peh chayv, says Rashi. What is im lasos lo peh? If his intention is to make a mouth, shemiskavin leyaposo, his kavona is to make it look nice, v'liyos lo pesach, in order that the liyos lo pesach zeleyo mocho, in order that this opening should be there for tomorrow also, chayv, then he is guilty of having transgressed the Shabbos. Why? Shehu mesakein Pesach. Excuse me. Because he is making an entry. Thank you. V'chayv mishum vode. And he's the Isur, the Malocho, is Binyan, is building. Now you might say, from where we got the right to say that in a body it's building, that doing in a body is building, masonry is building, timber is building, but body is building. He says, the Ashkenkhan, because we find binyan bevalei chayim, we find binyan with living creatures, dichsiv, because it's written in the Torah, vayiven es hatzera. And God took the side of man which he had taken from him, vayiver, and he built it into a woman. So we see we use the same expression of binyan And from there, says Rashi, we know that even in flesh, it is also called binyan, and therefore it is a malacha. It is work. Yes, Mark?
Rashi seems to be coming down with another reason why it's chayav. He says it's metaken, and I thought we were learning in the Gemara that it's because he has the kavana.
He does. Don't forget, here he's speaking about the opening he's making for the boil.
Right.
So he is metaken. He isn't destroying anything. In the Gemara, we were doubtful whether if a person, when he has the first beer, whether is he mesaken or mekalken. Is he mesaken because out of a basula he's making an isha, out of a virgin he's making a woman, and that is a tikkun? Or do we say no, but now, in the basula, in the kesubah, you'd only get half. You remember, and it's a kilkul.
Right.
But here there's no question, it's only a tikkun he's making.
Okay, but why is that necessary for Rashi to say that?
Because
there's a reason, because the issue is Dover Shane is Calvin is Mutter, but if he does have Kavana, then he's Chayav.
Yes, but if he would be Makalkale, he lit his Toto. If he would be Makalkale, for example, if he opens the tin, and his Kavana is to open the tin, but he's spoiling the tin. That is Makalkel. So Rashi says he's Mesaken, he's improving. Shehu Mesaken Pesach, because he improves it. He's making a Pesach. The Chayim Mishum Boni, and he's building. He wants it to look nice. And he wants it to have the purpose of draining it. So he's improving it.
So Rav Shimon would agree with that too, even if he has Kavana, but he's Mesaken.
Yes, of course, he says, then it's also. That's why the Mishnah says that Rabbi Shimon wouldn't go.
But if he had Kavana and it was Makalkel, then he would say it's Mutter?
Yes. That was the Gemara before. That was the whole Gemara. Okay. Or do we say that Rabbi Yehuda and Makalkel, the Rabbi Yehuda? That's another thing. But if it's Makalkel, it's right. The only thing is it's Mesaken. That is it like Rabbi? Then we say, is it like Rabbi Chim Domadovish and Miskavin Mutter? Oh, Aloha Rabbi Rehuda Domadovish and Miskavin is also. But that is if he's Mesake.
He improved. He permitted.
Yes.
For his health. The health of his hand. I mean, he's got a.
Yes.
Unhealthy
hand. It would be the better, easier thing to do on Shabbos. You must do the thing that there is the less wrong for him. If he's got to have it lumps, then you don't make a very nice hole for it, you see. But then you're writing you lumps if it's necessary for your health.
But then, doesn't that then create a...
No. This is not being done. Yes, but it's not building, because he doesn't want to make something nice and permanent. He just wants to get cut to bring the lecho out, to bring the pat out. It's only here. Now look what Rashi says. He is chayiv. He does it because le'yaposo, he makes it look beautiful. V'liyaz lo pesas de le'yom ochor. Chayiv is chayiv shehu mesaken, because he's improving. Shehu mesaken pesach. He makes a Pesach. He's improving it. V'chayiv mishum bone. So that is why it's chayiv. V'im lahutzi dam potur. V'kayim alon potur u'mutur lechatchilo. And we say not only is it potur, that means he's not guilty, but he can do it lechatchilo. Not only is he not guilty, if he's done it, he's not guilty, but lechatchilo from the very outset he's allowed to do it. Yes. Now, Akasha, Lamando also. Now, the way we are learning it is, we want to understand the one who says it is prohibited to do so. Why should it be prohibited to do so? Lamando also, Dahai Nami Lahutsi Damhu.
Well, to learn either way, really.
So according to the person that says you are not allowed to make the first beer on Shabbos, why shouldn't you be allowed to make the first beer on Shabbos? All you are doing is you are taking the dam out. The same as if you were taking the pus out of the wound. Says Rashi, Kasha Lamanda, also the one who prohibits to make the first beer on Shabbos. Dehai nami ledahotzi damhu, because it's only to take out the dam. Answers the Gemara, Horsum gabi leicho, there in the case of the absence of the boil and the pus, porkid. The pus is collected, konus beyachad, collected together, but okir kula mina boso. And it's all of it separated from the flesh, the omed lotzes. And it stands there ready to go out. It's not going to be reabsorbed into the hoch or dam besulim, but yar in the case of dam besulim, pokidu velo okir. Yar it is pokid, it is collected, but it is not separate, lagamri, altogether separate. Elonim lakatsas bekasoni. But it's a little bit absorbed in the walls, from the membrane into the walls. Although it is not adjoined, it's not, the blood isn't part of the flesh of the body, the same as in any other of the members of the body. Elokonus, but it is collected in the membrane. Mihu domeli mechuberu. Nevertheless, it is similar to being a part of the body, because it's not supposed to come out as the lecho is supposed to come out. In other words, it is to join to the body and it is collected with the other blood in the body, but not in its entirety, but it's meant to come out. So that is the distinction he makes. We'll have to end here. I just wanted to get you onto this new piece of Gemara. There's still some things, there's a Rashi that I've got to do with you before, it's quite an important Rashi. But from now on, the Gemara is quite simple, excepting one lovely sugya that we've got, which we've got ready for Sukkos. The difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, the only thing is I'm in a very great difficulty about next week. Next week is Tzom Gedalia. That means it's fasting the whole day. And I just don't think I will be up to fasting the whole day and then still taking a shiur in the evening. Right. I'll be here on Monday. I don't know what we can do about it. I don't see what
there are a couple of possibilities that I can think of.
What is that?
One, aside from bringing food here, the more logical choice is that we could have the shiur later after we have eaten, because the sun sets around
the rabbi. I just won't be able to. I think that's going to be just too much for me.
But you're coming Monday? Okay.
I'll be here for the women's shiur on Monday. I'm thinking of coming in on Monday, 7 o'clock in the morning, with a 7 o'clock play. You see, so I'll get here at 8 or something, down for the women's shiur.
Could we learn maybe early on Sunday?